Blog Talk Radio.
And at that moment, you'll notice you're not as dead as you thought you were. And you'll realize there's nothing more effective for breaking you free than philosophy in action. And when your intent and your actions are in alignment, you can finally stop pointing fingers at everyone and everything else and harness the power within and commence your empowered life with a mindset that screams, I'm free.
Hi, this is Byron Katie.
Hi, this is Dr. John Gray, author of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus.
Hi, this is Greg Braden.
Hi, this is Joan Borisenko. I'm author of Your Soul's Compass.
Hi, this is Dan Millman, author of Way of the Peaceful Warrior.
Hi, this is James Redfield, author of The Celestine Prophecy. You've tuned in to a radio show that can truly change your life. It's time to break free from the prison of your negative thoughts and release your greatest self. You're listening to Empowered Living with Steve Marabowie.
A Better Today welcomes you to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free with host, speaker, writer, and personal coach, Steve Marabowie. In the next hour, Steve and his expert guests take you on a quest for truth and highlight philosophies and strategies that help you release your greatest self. It's time to focus on your potential instead of your limitations. Here's your host, Steve Marabowie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Marabowie. As always, you are welcome to participate with this show no matter where you're listening, no matter how you're listening. You can participate through AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. You can participate through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. Just fill out the instant feedback form. Of course, you're listening to the most listened to internet talk radio show in the USA. We got listeners all over the country, all over the world who listen to this. It's really become a meeting place for today's great thinkers and communicators. Today we have an amazing guest coming on. I'm really honored to have Rita Cosby coming on shortly. She wrote a fantastic book called Quiet Hero, Secrets from My Father's Past. You're all going to love this story. Very powerful. Looking forward to speaking with Rita Cosby. But first, of course, I want to say hello to the A Better Today community. Keep doing what you're doing. Never forget the power of one kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. That's all we got to do. In this day and age, as so many people are embracing their spirituality, I think it's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. But remember, in doing so, don't turn your back on your humanity. There are people out there who need your love, your compassion, your touch. We're all on the same team and in this together. Like Dr. King said, either we go up together or we go down together. Let's remember that. Let's participate not only in your own evolution, not only in your own story, but let's touch the lives of other people out there. It could be something simple. Just remember, one kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. And thank you so much, A Better Today community, for doing all of this. We love participating in this. Another thing I'm going to ask of you today, don't let the day end. Rita Cosby is going to say something that inspires you. Rita Cosby is going to say something that empowers you. She's going to say something that is going to really, maybe it's going to give you some goosebumps. The story is amazing. I want you to share. I want you to share it. Tell somebody about RitaCosby.com. Tell somebody about it. Tell somebody about her book, Quiet Hero. We need to participate. 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 Of course, we're having some technical difficulties. So before we go to Rita, I want to talk to you about yesterday's show. It was really fantastic. It was really fantastic to come to a point where it really is like a dinner table conversation. We're able to inspire, we're able to empower, we're able to talk freely like family, because here's how it works. We are all really in this together. This is how it works. We could pretend we're different, we can point out our differences, but we are in this together. And if we want change, if we want something, if we want to participate in this change, we can't wait for the next person to do it. We have to do it ourselves. It begins with you. That is the empowered way of living. It begins with you. Will you stop pointing? You stop pointing the finger. You stop blaming everybody else. You stop looking towards everybody else, but instead, you start making that change. You, like Gandhi said, you start being the change you wish to see. And that's how this needs to go. I think we got Rita Cosby back. Rita is I know a lot of you have heard of Rita Cosby. She's a renowned TV host and veteran correspondent who's anchored highly rated primetime shows on the Fox News Channel and MSNBC. She's currently a special correspondent for the top-rated CBS syndicated news magazine Inside Edition. She penned an amazing book, Quiet Hero, Secrets from My Father's Past. I'm excited to have her on. Rita Cosby, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. I am so honored to be with you, Steve. And I love the message that you're sharing. And I'm so honored to be with you, especially with your military service. So being on with you is near and dear to my heart because this has been the most important story of my life.
Can I tell you, Rita? Wow, what a book. I got this book and I couldn't believe how quickly, you know, it takes a lot to give me goosebumps. It takes a lot to get tears out of my eyes in stories, especially written stories. But Rita, this hit home because this book has so many layers. It has there's discovery. In that briefcase, not only did you discover your father's past, but you discovered a lot of things about yourself in there that you didn't know, feelings and emotions, a powerful story. But I want you to tell people quickly about Quiet Hero. What's the overview of it?
Well, you know, you bring up the suitcase, too, which to me, I tell everybody now, go in your attic and find these belongings because you may find a treasure trove, which I did. I found my life and I found my father's life. And, you know, the basic overview of the story, I think, is learn about your parents. Learn about this greatest generation, especially our military, because at the end of the day, a lot of those folks will not be with us much longer, and a huge piece of history is fading. And in my case, my parents, you know, got divorced when I was very young. My father basically left the family when I was a teenager. And I felt if I was writing the book, you know, here I am an investigative journalist. I've interviewed the who's who of the world. But I hadn't really investigated my own history and learned about myself and learned about my own family. And I knew growing up my father had been in the war, but I didn't know a lot of details. He really was, Steve, one of these sort of greatest generation guys who, you know, the attention should be on everybody else. And he didn't really want to talk about it. It was clear it was a topic that was off limits. And then about a year and a half ago, I found this suitcase that you talked about, and inside I found a treasure trove of items. My mother had passed away, and so we were going through her belongings, my brother and I, and suddenly we found in the storage locker an old rusty POW tag emblazoned with the word Stalag 4B and a prisoner number. And then I found a fighting Polish armband. It was bloody and dirty, and my father had clearly worn it. Then I found a card with code names on it. This person had all these secret code names. And then I found a card of an ex-POW named Richard Kozabutsky. And when I saw that, it was a different age than I thought my father was, the birth date. But when I saw that, I thought, oh, my gosh, this is my father, my father who is now Richard Cosby. And I said, you know what, I could be angry at this man, frustrated because we had a disconnected relationship, you know, growing up, needless to say, when he left the family. But I said, he clearly went through something so harrowing, so heroic, so amazing. And I said, I'm going to reach out to him. And it started the most amazing journey of my life.
It really is amazing because it's amazing, first of all, how little we know about our parents. And second, how little I knew. I consider myself pretty well read on World War II. And there's as you talk about this story, I didn't know so much about it as much as I did. I didn't know that the Jewish population in Poland was the largest in Europe, and I didn't know that Warsaw was there was the spot. Your dad was badass, Rita. That was that was the spot, and that uprising was the kids. There were kids uprising, and that was the location of the biggest uprising.
And talk about the guts of, you know, not just my father, but his comrades, too. And, you know, when I reached out to my dad, it was so funny, Steve, because it's been, it was a number of years. We had talked, but sort of a disconnected relationship. And I think a lot because of what he went through with the war, that he was very unemotional and detached, and it was a residual effect of what he experienced firsthand in the war as a teenager, as you point out. And when I reached out to him, you know, I think it's interesting. I tell everybody timing is everything in life. And if you have someone, a loved one who went through the war, whatever it is, whether it's the Iraq War, if you've been in Afghanistan, you know, in my father's case, World War II, reach out to them because these stories are incredible. And sometimes, like in the case, and most times, they don't want to talk about what they went through for a number of different reasons. And I think in my father's case, you know, one, it was so painful. He lost so many friends. I mean, my father was fighting a war in his homeland, literally just a few hundred yards away from his house. I mean, at one point, my father escaped through the sewers, and it was 100 yards from his house. Can you imagine? That's how close the Nazis were. They were cornering them. And my father was fighting with sticks and Molotov cocktails against one of the most vicious war machines in the world. And you think about the guts that that had to take to keep fighting and keep, you know, he could have given up. He could have gotten snuck out of the country. And he said, no, I am staying and fighting. My father's not Jewish. And to me, I think, you know, one of the most amazing things I learned about my dad through all of this, Steve, and I love this line, and I think it epitomizes America's military and those who fight for freedom around the world, because at a very early age, my dad was just 15 years old. The war had already started in Warsaw. He literally saw the beginning of World War II, and that was when he was 13. So in 15, he's there in the middle of war. The Nazis are occupying their country. And my father's mother came to him and said, you know, I might be able to sneak you out because you're not Jewish, you're Polish Catholic. I might be able to get you out of the country and somehow sneak you out to Switzerland. We have a distant relative there. And my father looked at her and said, no, I would rather stay. I would rather die with friends than live with strangers. I am staying and fighting for my country. And he almost gave his life for it. But to have that kind of moral focus and that kind of patriotism, dedication at that age is so inspiring. And I've done so many stories through the years and so privileged to cover, you know, our military now. And you see that kind of dedication in these young faces who, even if they're severely injured or whatever's happened in the war or lost a loved one, they would do it all again for their country. And they just love this country. They love freedom and they love patriotism. And in my father's case, when I finally came back to him, you know, all these years later and wanted to finally hear his story and finally getting these pieces, you know, when you're physically touching your dad's POW tag and it's rusty and you see the blood on the armband, you know, it hit me in such a gut. You know, I get so emotional when I think about finding these items and what it was like and to know my father was wearing them when he almost died. And my father said to me, You know, I think I'm ready to share this story. He was 84. He just turned 85, actually, this week. But he was 84 years old. And he said, you know, I think I'm ready to share this story. You know, and what convinced him was, again, you know, I picked the title Quiet Hero because at the end of the day, my father, if you asked him if he's a hero, he'd say, no, the other guys were. And what convinced him to tell the story was, I said, Dad, you have to share it for history because, as you pointed out, Steve, not a lot of people know this part of the history and the guts of the Polish resistance and the courage of all these guys. And I said, Dad, it's so important. This generation's fading. And, you know, you're 84 years old. I'd like to know what you went through. I'd like to know who you are. And I'd also like to know who I am. This is my past, too. And I think because my dad felt it was going to be a great tribute, not just to his men, but also to the American troops that at the end of the day saved my dad, that's what convinced him to finally share, I think, what is, you know, a gem, an incredibly inspiring story.
And it becomes a piece of history that we didn't really have access to. You know, it's stories like this, Rita, that are really just going to get into the schools because really they weren't even allowed to talk about the history, like in Poland until, what, the late 80s?
Exactly, and that's what's interesting. You know, a lot of these guys, A, it was too painful to share it because it was such a, I mean, you know, you imagine fighting war and you're literally in your backyard and fighting the brutality of the Nazis, you know. And then in my father's case, the humility. I think, you know, they always felt the attention should be sort of on everyone else but them. But then they also, as you point out, they had a third thing. The communists took over their country after all these years of fighting. And then my father was literally, you know, thrown into a POW camp, then escaped. After all this, you would think, you know, you'd want to go back to your country. You almost died for it. He couldn't go back because the communists then took over his country. And it was a communist regime up until 1989, until June, basically, was the first elections there. And in fact, what most people don't realize is the beginning of sort of the end of the Iron Curtain in Europe really started in Poland. in June 1989. That's when Reagan was really pushing prior to that. You know, it was Bush at the time, but Reagan for years prior to that was pushing. Also the Pope, Pope John Paul, the Polish Pope, of course, you know, and all these forces finally came to a head. And it wasn't until a few months later that the wall fell in Germany, but the wall really fell in Poland a few months earlier. So it was the front lines of freedom throughout Europe.
It's just absolutely fascinating, you know. And we talk, you know, Rita, this show is about self-empowerment and really breaking through those conditioned ideas. You had, you know, with the anger and resentment, I'm sure, a whole bunch of conditioned ideas about your father. And what was that like? What was that like going through and saying, wow, I didn't hear somebody. It's almost like meeting somebody for the first time, even though you've known them literally your whole life. What's that like to realize, like, wow, this guy is, he's been through something else and is someone else than I thought?
And, you know, that's such a great question, because I'll never forget. I'm sitting there in that storage locker, and I'm looking at this rusty POW tag and the armband and all these code names and all these things. And I remember there was that moment where I said, you know what, maybe I'm not going to call him, because he left the family. There was obviously a lot of resentment. There was a lot of confusion, too. You know, how could he just sort of suddenly leave and not seem so emotional about it all? Because he was very emotionally disconnected. And, you know, I didn't understand what he went through. And then I was looking at these items, and I said, oh, my gosh, you know, this man went through something so extraordinary. He's my father. He's alive. And I really felt there was a need to connect with him, you know, personally. I always knew that he went through something amazing, but I also knew it was something so traumatic that he couldn't talk about it. And I also had to think, too, the other thing, too, is when I was younger, Steve, when I was writing the book, and after I talked to my father, I said, look, you know, I've had all these offers to do books, Dad. This would be a great story. And he said, yes, but let's make it a great tribute to that whole generation. You know, and my father, again, quiet hero, you know, till the end, always thinking of someone else but himself, you know. But when we were all on this journey, and early on when I was writing the book, I had to think of, when was the first time I realized my dad was different? And I remember when I was 8 years old, Steve, I was camping with my dad. He became a big runner. My dad always did everything 110%, you know, and even after POW camp and everything, he became this incredible runner. And I saw him coming back from run. He took his shirt off, and scars were etched all over his body. And I remember at that point thinking, that's weird, you know, as a child, thinking there's something wrong with Dad's body. It looks unusual. There's all these scars, all these etch marks all over it, and thinking maybe he got in a fight or something happened. And I asked my mother, I'll never forget when my father walked away, and I said, you know, Mom, what happened to Dad? And she said, your father went through tough times growing up. We don't talk about it. And the door was closed. So I knew it was something so traumatic, not just physically, but emotionally to my father, that it was a topic that really couldn't be talked about, you know, at home. And so when I found these items, I thought, you know what, I really want to know my father. And as you said, it was almost like meeting a stranger, because I learned about this whole other life that I had never really known before. I mean, I learned of this whole secret world that they went through, and to know that my father had code names and had secret names, and they literally were fighting underground. That's why they were called the Polish Underground at first, and then they finally came up to the top, you know, and were fighting literally at some points hand-to-hand with the Nazis. And then to hear these incredible stories are just amazing. I mean, there's one story that I think of, too, you know, Steve, that I think epitomizes my dad. So one night he was surrounded by tracer fire by the Nazis, and it was in the middle of the uprising. You know, it's August 1944. They are trying to fight tooth and nail. You know, much of their country is decimated and people, hundreds of thousands killed, you know, and they are fighting with everything they have. And my dad basically said, we're almost down to bayonets in hand at that point, because we had no weapons. They were in such a shortage. And he said there was so much tracer fire coming at them that it looked like daytime, even though it was in the middle of the night. And they were just getting, my father lost 80% of his men. And one of his comrades said, you keep fighting. You may have to, you know, fight to the last man tonight, but people are escaping. And my father kept fighting, taking his orders and thinking, where are they escaping? We're surrounded. And then the next thing he knows, his comrade comes over, you know, many hours later and said, it's your turn to escape. You're one of the last men out. And my father's thinking, well, where am I going? You know, we're basically going to die for our country tonight. We're surrounded. And he said, no, the one place that they haven't figured out is below ground. And that's when they escaped through the sewers. And can you imagine what that was like? And literally he comes up to the sewer manhole, and his, you know, his boss has said, you know, march or die. It's up to you. You got to get in this hole. You're going to die if you don't drop down in the next minute or two. And so my father had to crawl through the sewers, through the darkness of the sewers, with other men holding on to them for his dear life. and he still to this day has a scar on his forehead from the guy in front of him in the sewer whose machine gun, the cone of his machine gun, kept hitting my father's forehead repeatedly the whole time he was in the sewer. And to this day, he still has that scar reminding him of that incredible escape. You know, can you imagine what that was like? But you think about the guts of that man. And now to find, you know, you talk about your program being so beautiful about empowerment. I feel like this is such a great lesson of learning these people in your life, because you might find out, here I've interviewed the who's who of the world, and I've come to find out one of the most extraordinary heroes, you know, was living in my own backyard. And sometimes the best role models can be these unsung heroes and can be your parents.
It's absolutely true, and I think of that, and this is, Rita, this is before we had, you know, the diagnosis of post-traumatic stress. This is all this. Now, I think of him as a man, as another man. I think of your dad, and I think, wow, now you take that guy whose parents are freaking out, and they're like, dude, we got to get you to Switzerland. He's like, no, I would rather die with my friends than live with strangers. Rita, that is an inspired statement, to the point that even to this day, he shared this for his friends. He was telling their story. This is how selfless this guy was. So you take that guy, and there's hand-to-hand combat with the Nazis, by the way, who was an army that was like, they were the dream team army at that time, and they're in hand-to-hand combat, crawling through sewers, and then you put that guy, you put him in a house with just a wife and kids and birds chirping outside, and you know, and it's like, how does he even cope with that? I could only imagine the personal torment he had in his own mind watching 80% of his men be, you know, we say died, but in war, it's a massacre like that most people can't even understand, even seeing it in movies. And it's just incredible to me, Rita, that he found the closure, that he found, you know, I guess it's synchronistic. For me, it's synchronistic that a guy with such an incredible story would have one of the greatest investigative reporters in the world as a daughter, because or else it couldn't have come out. And I think synchronistically, it's a blessing that it worked out that way. But I can't help but think, as another guy who's been in the service, what that must have been for him. He didn't have the counseling services that were offered to me. He didn't have any of that. It's like, okay, new life now, and go, you know? It must have been incredibly...
You bring up a great point, because back then they didn't have anything. You're right. They literally said, and can you imagine seeing the worst of the worst? And you know, then through all of this, too, my father gets taken to POW camp, too. You know, you think about, first he goes through all of that, Steve. You know, you talk about just what a dramatic difference in life from going to there and then suddenly, you know, white picket fence in Greenwich, Connecticut, where I grew up, you know, total different story, and changes his name too, Steve. You know, it came all the way from being a code name. His code name was Mountain Lion, and he picked it to inspire him to be fast and swift. You know, that was his code name, fighting against the Nazis within the resistance. And then he changes his name from Ryszard Kozłowski, Polish resistance fighter, and now hero, obviously, as I've learned, to Richard Cosby, and starts a new life, comes over to America with my mother. And it makes me think about so much how we have to think about also our men and women in the service now, because some of these guys are fighting. I've spent a lot of time, and I know you talk to the troops all the time, too. You're so great at that. And I've spent a lot of time, you know, talking and covering the troops. I was out in Afghanistan with them. And you think about these guys who have been on the front lines as well, fighting over there, looking at their comrades dying or losing an arm, losing a leg, just the effect that has on them and also their families. I think this book is also a great tribute to the families and a great tribute, I pray, to the human spirit. Because to keep fighting, and my father at the age of 15, I think there is something extraordinary about people like my father, and again, you know, folks in our current military, to have the guts to say, I am willing to die for freedom, for something I believe in, and something so much bigger than myself, and something so extraordinary, and to take the pride to put on the uniform and say they're going to go to some difficult, horrible, you know, terrain country like Afghanistan, which is such a foreboding country physically. I've been over there, the terrain is, you know, just unforgiving. Or Afghanistan in the heat of it all, you know, dealing with the Taliban and Al-Qaeda all over the place, all over the world, you know, that they're fighting. And to have to deal with that and have the guts to say, I'm going to keep doing it, and even if I'm injured, I want to go back, or if I've lost a friend, I'm going to go back because I believe in my country and I believe in freedom. And to think about the guts and what that takes, the moral focus, and that's what I hope also, you know, when I was writing this book and hearing my own father say, you know, I'd rather die with friends than live with strangers, and I'm fighting for my country. At 15, you just think of what that takes in any human being at that age. How many 15-year-old would be able to say that today?
Are you kidding? I mean, that's something, like I said, for me, it's synchronistic that this happened this way, and that your great father is still here, and that he has you. This book is you drawing this out of him. It's just fantastic. Folks, we're speaking with Rita Cosby. She is the internationally best-selling author of Quiet Hero, Secret from My Father's Past. Of course, so many of you recognize Rita. She's a renowned TV host and veteran correspondent who anchors highly rated primetime shows on Fox News and MSNBC. And, of course, you've seen her on Inside Edition. And, yes, I see you feeding back. I saw her the other day, too. She was on Headline News. Listen, we're going to take a quick break. We have a whole segment left with Rita. We're going to get to some feedback. I want to talk when we get back. I want to talk to Rita about her dad went back. Her dad went back and what that was like. And we'll get to some of your questions. You're listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. And again, we're speaking with Rita Cosby. Listen, while we're on break, go to RitaCosby.com. That's RitaCosby.com. All the information about Rita, this book, is on that website. Listen, if you're listening through our website, just click on Rita's name. It'll take you right to her website. It opens a new window. It doesn't interfere with the show at all. So you can browse around the website and check out Quiet Hero while you listen to this brilliant woman speak. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
A renowned speaker, author, and personal coach, Steve Maraboli has risen to international prominence by delivering highly penetrating speeches and effective programs that have helped propel corporations, executives, professionals, and organizations to great levels of success and excellence. Packed with timeless wisdom and effective strategies, Steve's speeches and coaching programs have been featured in Fortune Magazine, Reader's Digest, New York Times, LA Times, and Psychology Today. Steve Maraboli has been considered the secret weapon behind many great success stories. Now it's your turn. Visit SteveMaraboli.com. Align with success and excellence today. SteveMaraboli.com.
Hi, this is Mark Anthony Farag, recording artist, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Music is one of the most important things in my life, but nothing is more important than life itself. So choose a designated driver. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
How I long to hear you sing beneath the clear blue
skies. Hi, this is Steve Maraboli. Do you need a little motivation, a little inspiration? I'd like to share with you my favorite website, motivateus.com. I've been visiting the site for many years whenever I need a motivational or inspirational pick-me-up. MotivateUs.com is packed with thousands of positive quotes, stories, and poems. For over 10 years, Marlene Blasek has been regularly updating the site with submissions from listeners just like you. Visitors are invited to share their best thoughts and stories to help encourage others. Why not visit the site and see for yourself? That's MotivateUs.com. And tell Marlene Steve sent you.
I'm Sarah Evans with a message from the American Red Cross. Did you know that the Red Cross provides service to members of the military, veterans, and their families? From communicating emergency messages in times of crisis, to outreach to the National Guard and Reserves, to veterans assistance and military hospital visits, the Red Cross is there for men and women in the armed forces across the country and around the world. Visit www.redcross.org or contact your local American Red Cross chapter.
Ready to participate in an effective advertising campaign? Internet radio continues to gain popularity as its audience has grown larger than many terrestrial radio programs. It's the perfect platform to reach your target audience. Empowered Living with Steve Maraboli is heard live by thousands of people all across the nation and downloaded on iTunes by thousands more. If you would like to support this program and advertise to our large national audience, please call A Better Today at 800-445-0921. That's 800-445-0921.
This is Dominic Elvis, author of The Four Agreements, speaking for Empowered Living with Steve Maraboli.
Come on now and shout it out.
Welcome back. You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. For more information about A Better Today, our speeches, programs, seminars, our live event special, our Empowered Women Centers, our food drives, our clothing drives, our blood drives, anything for our brothers and sisters who serves, my veterans, I'm with you. Anything you want to know that we've got going on all across the United States or in 46 other countries, make sure you check out abettertoday.com. All my corporate brilliance is at stevemaraboli.com. And every show we have ever done, ever, almost 400 hours of great interviews are available 100% free at empoweredlivingradio.com. I'm telling you, 100% free. I don't even want your email address. All I ask is that you pass it along. You pass it along. Hundreds of thousands of people listen to this radio show. We've never advertised it. 100% because you pass it along. When Rita Cosby says something that inspires you, you know you're loving this story. You tell somebody about it. You send them a copy, a link to this interview. You send them to ritacosby.com. Maybe you might even get them a copy of Quiet Hero, this fantastic book. Whatever it is you do, you participate. And for this or any other interview we have ever done, make sure you check out empoweredlivingradio.com. We are speaking with Rita Cosby. She is the renowned TV host on Fox News Channel, MSNBC, and of course you see her on the syndicated news magazine Inside Edition. She is the best-selling author of Quiet Hero, Secret from My Father's Past. Great Senator John McCain writes, Rita's story is one that will touch every family, a loving, poignant tribute to her POW father and freedom. It's a fantastic book. Make sure you check out RitaCosby.com. Rita, so finally, after this, your dad goes back to Poland. What was that like?
Oh, it was, Steve, the most incredible trip for me personally. In fact, my father growing up always told me, you know, Warsaw was a nightmare. What he went through, needless to say, was a nightmare. And he was never going to go back there again. And then as we started talking about the story, and I returned these items to him, you know, the POW tag and his fighting armband and these things that I suddenly found in the suitcase, my dad said, you know, I wonder who survived. I wonder what happened to my comrades. And we were invited by the president of Poland. And my dad, who literally left with a shirt on his back, held at gunpoint and was shoved in a rail car. And it was October 1944, and his country was in flames. It was decimated. You know, over 90% of Poland, of Warsaw, rather, was destroyed. Can you imagine 90%, over 90% of your city is destroyed? And my father left, and you know, there was nothing left of his country, and he was shoved on a rail car by the Nazis, sent to a POW camp. That's how he left. And then to come back 65 years later, almost to the day, and the two of us went, and we held hands as he took his first step on Polish soil. And it was one of the most, he was nervous, you know, he was sweating and having all these different emotions and scared like a young child because he was going back to this place that he loved but didn't know if, you know, if they would remember him, if he would remember it. And as soon as he got there, he got the most amazing embrace, you know, just from this country. They were so proud of my father and his comrades. And what was one of the most beautiful things for me, you know, it was neat the way I learned it, because first hearing the story from my dad and hearing about all these different experiences that he had, and then going there, and I had never been to Poland before either, so to go there together with him, and then we'd go to these places where now there are plaques, you know, honoring him and his men and those that were killed there at particular scenes. So it was interesting. He told me about a particular spot. We'd go there, and then there's a monument honoring him and his men there. Then we went to another spot, and then we got to the presidential palace. And the president of Poland, who unfortunately passed away, as we know, in a, you know, a few months ago in that terrible plane crash, but he was the most amazing man to my father. When he heard who my father was, you know, he said, there are very few of you alive who are fighting in Old Town, fighting. This was the most brutal fight and one of the most courageous people that we've had in our country. And you escaped through the sewers, and you are one of our heroes. And he was so amazed because his father, can you imagine, the president of Poland's, now the late president of Poland's father, fought with my father in the same unit for a brief period of time. So he was so interested to find out what life was like for his father and that experience that his father went through. And my father was so warmly, you know, taken in. And that was the beautiful part. The tough part, and going back to, you know, what you talked about with PTSD, I said to my father, of all the things he went through, going back to Poland, I thought, was one of the most courageous things, if not the most courageous thing he did in his life, because he was confronting his demons and confronting his fears and his nightmares. And he literally took me to the scene, Steve. You know, so many people go through battle, and, you know, there's different moments that they remember. My father remembers one clear moment that he says changed his emotions for his life, and in many ways made him void of emotions, in many ways, you know, able to leave a family and a daughter, Rita Cosby, you know, myself when I was a teenager, and a mother and a wife very easily, you know. And what happened was, it was a scene where a big German tank exploded. 500 people were killed, and among them, my father's girlfriend and all his comrades, basically. You know, many comrades, I should say, not all of them, but many comrades were on this tank. The tank exploded. They believe it was booby-trapped by the Germans. There, you know, there's different versions now we've heard, but they believe the Germans had booby-trapped the tank, possibly. My father was supposed to be on the tank, and instead he walked away and said, there's something fishy about this. It's too easy to get this tank. You know, there's something, this is maybe a setup or something weird. Walked away, and he heard the ground shake and had run back, literally looking for a piece of his friends. And my father and I went back to the scene where this was, and now there's a big plaque there honoring 500 people who died, 800 who injured in this tank explosion. And my father looked at me, and he wept, broke down, and he looked at me, and he said, Rita, I tried. I tried to do the best I could, and this is where I lost my emotions. You know, he said, after this, nothing fazed me in life. How could it?
That's absolutely incredible. And I love that this feedback is pouring in. I love all of you so much. We're speaking with Rita Cosby. She's the author of Quiet Hero, Secrets from My Father's Past. Michelle in Portland, Oregon, writes, asks a brilliant question. She writes, Rita, I love seeing you on TV. I can't get enough of you. Thank you for this book. In those times in World War II in Europe, religion, God, was a taboo thing at times. How has your father's religious views or spiritual views changed throughout this, and have they affected yours any? Thank you again for all the work you do.
You know, Michelle, that is a great question. And I'll tell you one of the most beautiful things, because even in the middle of the flames and the fire and the bombing and everything in Germany, in Poland from the Germans, here it is, Warsaw, you know, literally in the thick of it all. My father's mother was a very religious woman. And even though it was forbidden to practice religion, she kept a private altar in their bombed-out apartment and every day prayed for my father and gave my father, which I thought was so beautiful, this little pendant. It's the Black Madonna of Chess Jehovah. And it's a very, you know, very, you know, powerful Catholic religious symbol. And she gave him a little pendant when she said, you are going, she knew he was going off into the uprising, gave it to him and said, put this around your neck. And he wore it on a string, and it hung on his torso. And then when he was taken to POW camp, he put it on the back of his chain on the POW tag. In fact, I remember seeing this and looking at it and going, oh my gosh, through all this, my dad had this beautiful symbol, you know, around his neck. And it's interesting. My father's body, as I told you, was etched in scars, and one of the only places that was not injured was his torso. Basically, the only part of his body that was uninjured. And he firmly believes that it was because of the beautiful pendant and the faith that his mother had and that pendant hanging on his chest, remember, during that whole time. And I think because of that, you know, it's interesting, growing up, my mother was much more religious than my father was, but I've always been someone who is very spirit-filled and someone who certainly believes in the Lord and believes in faith. And I think, you know, my father, I think, was a little bit confused, certainly on his faith, I think, during the fighting. I think he always stood fast and always believed that he would survive. He always believed there was something bigger and something much more important, you know, protecting him. And I think, you know, since this experience, I certainly think he looks back and is so grateful that somebody was clearly watching over him through this incredible, because if you look at his story, there is no way that the Lord and that a higher power was not protecting him, because, you know, the odds were that he was not going to make it out alive, and somehow he did. And I've always, you know, to me, after this experience with my father, I think it's made me, you know, certainly reinstilled my faith and just, you know, triple fold of what I had before. And it certainly also made me just, you know, remind me that some of the most extraordinary people that the Lord works through are not necessarily, again, these, you know, big VIPs or world leaders and people that I've interviewed, but are everyday people that somehow are thrust in incredible situations and rise to the top and do extraordinary things. And if that's not the Lord working in them, I don't know what is.
I agree. Lindsay's in San Diego, California. She writes, Steve, I'm a huge fan of the show, and I love Rita Cosby and her work. I want to congratulate her for being a hero for so many. She's been in an industry that has been very difficult for women, and I was curious, while she was uncovering all this information about her dad, if she realized that maybe some of the strength she got to get through all the BS that probably came with her career, if she wonders if she got that strength from her dad, did she get a new view of her own strength that was passed on by her wonderful father?
That's a great question, too. And you know what? I think, Lindsay, that I think it definitely did. And in many ways, you know what's funny? I think back now, and I don't think I realized this. I know I didn't realize this until I was writing this book. I wonder if I became an investigative journalist asking everybody else questions because I wasn't able to do it in my own home. And then it's funny, even though I didn't know a lot about my dad, I certainly knew my dad was always a fighter and always courageous and was always one of those people. I remember, you know, I had a small gymnastic accident when I was younger, and I was showing my dad my scar, trying to say, oh, look, you have scars, Dad, here's mine, basically. And my dad looked at it and said, oh, that's nothing, carry on. You know, in our family, we were taught never to complain, you know, never to gripe, never to, you know, if you wanted to do something, my father became, you know, after all this, I told you, he became a marathon runner. So, you know, talk about the endurance and the drive. My father would wake up, you know, 5, 4 in the morning running, you know, before he'd go to work and work, you know, 40, sometimes 80 hours a week. I mean, I think I had an incredible role model in my father. And again, that fighting spirit, it's funny. I think everybody who knows me knows I'm someone who, when I believe in something, I fight like a Dickens for it. And I've always tried to pride myself on fighting for causes and people that I really believe deserve to have a voice. And I do think I got a lot of that from my dad. And as I've been writing this book, I've realized that some of his qualities, I think, are in me. I hope I have one millionth of his courage and his guts. And if that's the case, I'm doing okay.
I love it. A big shout-out from Ramstein Air Base in Germany. This is Sergeant Jackson. John Jackson writes, saw Rita out in the desert and wanted to thank her for all the work she does with veterans, for all the work that she does with so many around the world. I was curious if this interaction and exchange with her father changed her views on veterans. Did it make her more compassionate, maybe, as you would say, Steve, have a little more conscious contact with what we're going through? And again, please thank her and give her a kiss for me, Steve.
Well, first of all, hello to everybody in Ramstein Air Force Base. I love you guys. I've been there a few times, and it's always such a privilege to be with all of them. And I've gone to Landstuhl, obviously, where a lot of the wounded soldiers get taken, you know, from Iraq and Afghanistan immediately when they get out of theater. And to me, it is just an honor whenever I get a chance to go to Ramstein. So please tell everybody, first of all, I said hello there. I'm so glad that you guys are listening in, and I'm thrilled. And in terms of veterans, you know, it's funny. I have always loved the U.S. military and the veterans. And this has certainly, if there was a way to for me to have, I guess, an increased devotion, I certainly did have it. Because after seeing what my father went through and how this affected our family and the residual effects, I have so much, you know, I've always had such respect. I mean, I've always, through the years, volunteered and done so much as I could. You know, I think there's never enough that we can do for our soldiers, but as much as I could with my time, I would try to always, you know, make time and do anything I could for the troops. But now, the minute I run into a veteran, I almost have tears in my eyes because I also want to say thank you to them. Because to me, I think the most incredibly inspiring part of my father's story, I haven't even told you, you know, told this to your listeners yet. My father, after 5.5 years of war and, you know, literally fighting and hell on earth, you know, then gets taken to the POW camp. And he's in this POW camp. It's about an hour outside of Dresden in Germany. He and his guys escape. He is 90 pounds and 6 feet tall, and he sells the suit on his back to get a loaf of bread that he can share with his comrades so they have enough energy to escape. I mean, and you think about the diehard, you know, drive that he had in the desperate situation they were in. They get out of the camp. Here it is. It's in the wartime, so where do you go? You know, it's scary in the camp, but it's scary outside the camp. And he's going outside, and they're outside in the woods. They finally come about 2.5 days after that to a little road, a little country road, and a plane comes by, and they think it's a German plane, and they dive for the ditches, and they basically think this is it, we've been discovered, and this is the end, you know? The plane comes by again, and they dive for the ditches again, and the plane throws something out, and they thought it was a grenade or something else, and then they realize it wasn't that, and they look up, and they see a star, and they realized it's an American plane. And what was dropped out was a chocolate bar with a note wrapped around it with a red ribbon. And it basically said from the pilot, it was a note, and it said, "Welcome, you are safe to walk now during daytime. There are no troops between you and our lines. You have 15 miles to walk, and you're free." So my father, 90 pounds and 6 feet tall with other POWs, these ragtag guys, you can imagine what they look like, jumped up and down and started dancing in the middle of the road, and they ran 15 miles to American troops. So at that moment, my...
Rita, he loved it so much, he still runs marathons.
Isn't that funny? And he still does. And also, Steve, at that point, my dad, Steve, also said, "I am going to America because this is the greatest country in the world to save me and to save these other Poles and to save the world, you know, in World War II." And at that point, you know, when I hear that story, now knowing that story and hearing it, when I see the U.S. military, I just cannot thank them enough for basically saving my father and saving the world. And just, I think... anybody listening, I pray that they do whatever they can for our troops. In fact, on Monday night, by the way, I hope everybody, if anybody lives in White Plains, New York, or in the tri-state area here in New York City area, make sure you come on out, because on Monday night, I'm going to be doing an event for the Wounded Warrior Project, which is a terrific group, and it's in White Plains, New York, 6 to 8 o'clock, August 9th, in White Plains, New York, at the 42 restaurant, which is in White Plains. It's at the Ritz-Carlton. They have a beautiful place, but on the top of it, they have this restaurant called the 42 restaurant, and it's Heineken is going to be sponsoring it. Heineken's a huge supporter of our troops, and Heineken has a project which is just fantastic, where they help soldiers. It's called Heineken with a Heart, and Heineken and Wounded Warrior Project are partnering with me. I'm going to be emceeing it, but we're going to have lots of wounded soldiers there from the Wounded Warrior Project coming out. So I hope everybody, by the way, if you're in the area, you come on out. And I get a chance to also meet you and shake your hand and sign a book, but more importantly, that you shake the hand of these amazing men and women who literally were wounded and did everything they could to fight for our country. And I feel like anytime I can come out and help folks and do it, it is an honor and a privilege for me.
Folks, we're gonna go to feedback as I deal with these tears and goosebumps. This amazing woman we're listening to is Rita Cosby. She is the best-selling author of Quiet Hero. I want you to check out RitaCosby.com. Great feedback from Molly in Charlotte, North Carolina. She says, "Steve, I hope you have special powers. This hour is going too fast. Make it stop. Make it stop." Molly, I say it is definitely going fast. We are definitely subject victims of Einstein's theory of relativity right now. It's flying by. But you know what I'm curious about, Rita? I'm curious, you found this. This is something you found after your mom had passed away, right?
Exactly.
Does it drive you crazy that you can't talk to her about this? Or did she leave a diary or anything? I would think you'd want to talk to her about it. See, find out what she knew about any of this. Is there any evidence that she knew about this to this extent?
Well, you know what's interesting? I asked my dad that, and my father said he never talked with her about it. He said, you know, she knew that he went through difficult times because, in fact, one of his wounds where he had shrapnel, severe shrapnel, the one that really sent him to almost his deathbed, was a mortar shell that exploded. It was a German mortar shell, and it was in the middle of the uprising again, and he was taken. Can you imagine? You know, there's no hospitals. The Nazis were bombing hospitals. Whatever had Red Cross signs out were often targeted by the Nazis because they knew they had more victims. Can you imagine that? So they didn't have anything that was really basically tagged hospital. They had to operate on him in the back of an apartment building, and literally two guys sat on his arms and two others sat on his legs, and they operated on him. Can you imagine? With no anesthesia. And so my father, you know, had these scars. And then later on in his life, after he married my mother, he had some complications in his arm. So he had to go for some surgeries on that. And my father said that was the only time that they talked for about 2 minutes. He said, "This was a war wound. You know, I almost was killed by a mortar." That was basically it that he said. And in fact, I know now, which is really interesting you bring that up, because I feel like my mother is definitely smiling down on me and so happy, because even though my father divorced my mother and it was a painful divorce, my mother still always loved my father and always admired him and always knew he went through something heroic. And I really and truly believe she's looking down on me now and smiling and so happy that, you know, that I'm reunited with this handsome young man that she met in London, who went through something so harrowing that she never knew. And I hope she's looking down smiling, knowing the story herself now, because I know my father barely shared anything with her. And I know a lot more about my father than my mother ever did, even though they were married for 32 years. So it's funny how timing is everything in life, and that's why I tell everybody, take advantage of this moment in life, because you don't know what tomorrow brings. You don't know, you know, if your parents or if your husband or your brother or if someone's always going to be with you. And if they went through something so incredible, whether it's war or whether it's something else, find out. Because once you kind of penetrate, my father was, believe me, if I can find out my father's history and get my father to talk, he was a tough nut to crack. I've interviewed dictators and terrorists, you know, and if I, you know, my father was probably the toughest interview I've ever had in my entire life. And if I can get him to crack and get the details on my father's past through documents, papers too, I hope it inspires everybody else.
Melisita's in Lisbon, Portugal, and she writes, "Steve, fascinating conversation this is. Please tell her that I think it is wonderful. She is, ironically, the biggest healing for her father and for so many others who went through this in Europe. And I was curious if she ever thinks about that in her time, about what an impact this story has and what an impact she has had on her father's closure."
That's a great question. I, you know, it's funny, I didn't realize when I was doing the story, it's funny, part of me was obviously Rita, the investigative journalist, as I've been all these years asking the questions and curious and wanting to hear this great story and share it. And then the other part was, of course, daughter, wanting to learn my father finally and get to know him finally. And now I believe after all this, I truly believe I have one of the most amazing relationships that a daughter and father could have. We are best friends. And I didn't realize the catharsis that was going to happen for him and for me through this. I mean, this book was not just a book, it was a journey. And it changed me. I am a different person, no question. My father is absolutely a different person. My father said to me, I thought this was a beautiful line, at the end of that trip to Poland, he looked at me and he said, "Rita, I am a changed man. I feel like after coming back to Poland and being able to come back and get a hero's welcome and realize what I did meant something to these people and to the world," he said, "I feel like now I can participate in life more. I feel like I can be more open as a person." And he cried and hugged me. And to this father who was never emotional, to be able to break through to me has been the most extraordinary journey of my life. And I hope that that does inspire other people, you know, to do the same, to reach through and to get that inner circle with that person, because it may take a lot of work, but at the end of the day, it is so worth it.
And you know, you're right, because when you think of it, when he said that powerful thing, I would rather die with friends than live with strangers, what he was envisioning, the vision he had, was what he came home to. Like, he said, "I want just people, I want this to be our home, and where we play our music, and we can have our family, our relatives, our barbecue, our president, this is what I want." And when he went home, you know, even if it was decades later, that was the closure he needed. That's what he was fighting for. And to be there with, you know, to be a hero in your homeland and to be there with your incredibly successful daughter after all of this must be a feeling that, reader, really no poet could even describe accurately. It's got to be a euphoric feeling for your dad. And for you to be investigating this, and you have spoken with and had conversations with incredible people, but to be investigating this one person and then pause for a second and say, "Wait a second, this is my dad." Like, this means that you are also that, Rita. You know, we live in a scientific universe. You are that. And that just must have unlocked incredible things within you.
Well, you know what? You know what was one of the most touching things I learned? And I found this out just a few months ago, you know, when we were finished wrapping up the book. My father had a cousin, Rita, who he was very close to. He didn't have any brothers or sisters. And his parents, he never saw them again after the war because he couldn't go back because it was communist, as we talked about before. And the Russians hated the Poles. So if they came back, if you were a resistance fighter, especially like my father, who at that point, because he was in POW camp, they knew who he was, he would have been targeted. He could have been killed or tortured, or his family, because there was such hatred and such bad blood. But my father had this cousin, and he basically considered her a sister. And it turns out that she was also a resistance fighter, and apparently a pretty gutsy one. And when my father and I were talking, he looked at me and he said, "You know, your cousin Rita, who I met when I was very little, I remember this elderly woman, you know, very attractive, but, you know, sort of this typically older lady, always nice dressed." And he goes, "She was a really gutsy woman." And he said, "And that's why I named you after her." And I thought, I was so touched to know that I was named after a resistance fighter. I thought that was such a great thing and such a beautiful thing that my father did.
That's it, Reedy. You can only make me cry twice. That's my
quote. Well, you've made me cry like 10 times, you and your beautiful listeners.
Rita, this is amazing. Folks, this hour has flown by. I want to get this all in before the end of the show. We just spoke with Rita Cosby. She's the best-selling author of Quiet Hero, Secrets from My Father's Past. Make sure you check out RitaCosby.com. That's RitaCosby.com. We just touched on a piece of this fantastic book. If you're in the New York area, make sure you check out RitaCosby.com for info of where Rita's going to be. Of course, Rita is, you'll see her on Fox News, MSNBC, and of course, in the news magazine Inside Edition. Again, check out RitaCosby.com. Rita, thank you so much. Thank you so much for this talk. Thank you so much for this book and for everything you do. Really appreciate it.
Oh, it's been such a joy. And again, if anyone's listening who's in the White Plains area, come out Monday night, 6 to 8 o'clock, 42 Restaurant. It's 1 Renaissance Square in White Plains, New York, at the top of the Ritz-Carlton. We're doing a big event for Wounded Warriors. It's a Wounded Warrior project and Heineken partnering, and we're going to be emceeing the event. Some of the Sopranos are going to be there, too, so it's going to be fun. And again, you get to meet our great, brave men and women and just say thank you to them. So if you're in the area, I'd love to meet any of you. Come on out next Monday night, August 10th, at the 42 Restaurant on the top of the Ritz-Carlton in White Plains, New York. So if you're in the tri-state area, and I know you've got a lot of listeners out there, please come on out. It would be a joy to meet all of you. And again, I hope this book inspires everybody to not just reach out if you've got a war hero in your background, as I did, but whatever kind of hero you have, get that story, because it may be the most amazing story of your life. So I hope it inspires other folks. And it's been a joy to be with you, Steve.
Thank you so much, Rita. Again, folks, RitaCosby.com. Make sure you check out RitaCosby.com. We've got 2 minutes left of this show. Folks, this is, I don't have to tell you how powerful this woman is. I don't have to tell you how powerful this book is. Make sure you check out Quiet Hero and by Rita Cosby. It's RitaCosby.com. And as Rita said, go find, you don't know what you're made of. Rita didn't know. Rita spent all these years not even knowing what she was made of. This man and everything she sees in him. Everything Rita sees in her dad that inspires her, every single thing that Rita sees in her dad that empowers her, everything that brings her to tears because it's so incredible, is within her. That's what's fascinating to me. And what's within you? What's in your story? What's in your family story? What's in your friends? Who are you attracting to yourself? Find out. Like Rita said, you never know. Folks, I was telling you guys before that, you know, growing up in a traditional household, a Latin American kind of household, I never knew how strong my mom was. I always thought the strength came from the dad, from my dad was the strong one in the house. My mom was kind of just quiet, and I never really realized until watching my mom go through this cancer, I realized, holy cow, my mom is strong. She's resilient. She's brilliant. She's a philosopher. I mean, I've learned so much, and it's added so much depth to myself that I know this is true for all of you. And again, like I said, if you see it within them, it's because it's within you. Check out this book, Quiet Hero, Secret from My Father's Past by Rita Cosby. Make sure you check out RitaCosby.com. I see all of you writing, Steve, she made me cry. Steve, I have goosebumps. Believe me, I'm with you. I'm absolutely with you. I love this woman. I love this book, Quiet Hero by Rita Cosby. Make sure you check it out. And don't let the day end that you don't tell at least 3 people about this. And if you're in the New York area, especially in the White Plains area, make sure you go out. We want to support people like Rita Cosby. RitaCosby.com. You're listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Sorry it's only an hour show this week. Got a bunch of things to do, but we'll see you next week. Have a great weekend. Today's a new day. Make it count. Check out our websites, empoweredlivingradio.com, stevemaraboli.com, and abettertoday.com. We'll see you next time.
A Better Today would like to thank you for listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free.